from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, November the 17th, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey, yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud, sing it proud. This is so good. Yes, indeed. Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. And it is time now to start the program properly with
the Daily Datagram.
Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. And, this is a good one. It comes to us from Dolly Parton. She says, if you don't like the road you're walking, pave another one. Yeah, good advice. And if you come to a fork in the road, pave both of them.
Hurry it up. We're burning daylight.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Important stuff.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history. You might be quizzed.
Yeah, well, I'll take that chance. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1947, American scientists John Bardeen and Walter Hauser Bratton observed the basic principles of the transistor, a key element for the electronics revolution of the 20th century, not to mention the electronics revolution of the 21st century. Wow. And it was on this day in 1973, President Nixon told 400 Associated Press managing editors,
I am not a crook.
Yeah. And the jury is still out on that one.
I'm going to put him in jail till he rots.
It never ceases to amaze me the kind of crap that lefties manage to get away with over and over and over again and never get held accountable. Interesting story in the Epoch Times. Austin Alonzo gets the byline on this. He says, what's been a radical left-wing social experiment, according to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, is over in St. Louis. And he said it's time for Attorney Kim Gardner to face the consequences of her actions. Apparently on November 14th, Mr. Bailey filed a 53-page report on Ms. Gardner's time as St. Louis attorney, what they call circuit attorney. Ms. Gardner resigned in May under heavy public scrutiny. Okay, we'll just call it that. Now, she was the first black woman elected to the office in charge of prosecuting offenses inside the city limits of St. Louis and began her term in 2017. She was reelected in 2020. And Mr. Bailey said in an interview with the Epoch Times, she bragged about coming to office with a new approach to criminal justice focused on racial equity. She bragged about seeking to actively shrink the criminal justice system, and she did that by unlawfully refusing to do her job and let the criminals take over the streets. Now, nationally, Mr. Bailey said the Gardner Report serves as a blueprint for how other states can address rogue, Soros-backed prosecutors who, rather than protecting their victims, are creating more victims. Now, we all know this. We've seen this pattern now for how long, and we know who's behind it. The Soros family. George Soros and his son, Alex. And they're still on this campaign. They're still giving all kinds of money to extreme leftist candidates for key positions in county governments around the country, city governments as well, but particularly DA's offices. Now, Bailey said, in a lot of major cities in the U.S., you have Soros-backed prosecutors who were like-minded with Kim Gardner. Anytime you see that kind of dark money flowing into those races to buy those political offices, that creates enormous problems for the population. And it's so true. Now, in February, Gardner faced a quo warranto case filed by the Missouri Attorney General's office. And it came after a lot of public outrage that was caused by the severe injury of Janae Edmondson, a visiting athlete walking on the sidewalk in downtown St. Louis by Daniel Riley. Now, Riley, according to reports from the Epoch Times and elsewhere, was an alleged repeat probation violator who should have been under house arrest. Miss Edmondson had both of her legs amputated after the incident. Now, it's just a news story alone. It's kind of easy to detach yourself from that. You know, it's like somebody tells you, gee, my head hurts. And you snap back and say, funny, I can't feel it. And that's how all too many Americans read these news stories. But Janae was a Tennessee teen athlete. Ended up losing both of her legs after a speeding vehicle hit her. And the saddest part of this story is the fact that she was walking with her parents at the time. They were there. They saw this happen. Daniel Riley driving the vehicle. So Mr. Bailey said the accident symbolized increased crime in St. Louis caused by Gardner's lack of prosecutions. He called a refusal to review cases an abuse of her prosecutorial discretion, which essentially nullified law. And that's a great way to put it because that's exactly what it is. It nullifies the laws on the books. In May, Gardner announced she would resign her office on June 1st. But on May 16th, she suddenly left her office 2 hours before she was due to give a deposition in the Quo Warranto case. Her unexpected departure stymied the Quo Warranto proceedings since she no longer held the power she would need to defend. Now, in the report, Bailey made numerous recommendations to the state's General Assembly to enact stricter laws allowing the Missouri bar to, the state of Missouri to bar anyone who resigns in the face of a removal proceeding or anyone who's removed from office from ever holding public office again. That's what that Quo Warranto case is all about, removing her from public office. There had been quite a bit of tussling between Bailey and Gardner. And I think Gardner realized she had no recourse. He had the goods on her. Bailey also recommended accelerating the discovery process in similar cases. And this wouldn't allow others to gum up the works to escape accountability. Bailey said the resignation complicates his office's effort to complete the judicial process necessary to prosecute Ms. Gardner or hold her accountable in a civil or criminal suit. Moreover, her whereabouts are unknown at the moment, and she isn't responding to media contact requests. Really strange. Even the Epoch Times reached out to her and her attorneys for comment. Didn't hear a peep. Bailey said he hasn't been in contact with her attorney since May. Now, Christine Bertelson, a public information officer for the Circuit Attorney's Office, said the office didn't know Ms. Gardner's whereabouts, nor could they comment on the report. But Bailey said he's considering other ways to hold her accountable. The state can bring either civil or criminal charges against her regarding several of her actions. There are legitimate questions, according to Mr. Bailey, as to whether Ms. Gardner was illegally using an unlicensed attorney to evaluate causes or cases brought to her office. Gardner also misrepresented herself when she publicly stated that she objected to Mr. Riley's being granted a bond when transcripts indicate she consented to it. Case of the right hand not knowing what the left hand's doing, huh? The circuit attorney must also devote his or her full time and energy to his or her official duties. But still, state investigators found that Gardner was in class working on an advanced nursing degree during work hours when she was ordered to be in court. And that action alone could open her to additional prosecution if she used taxpayer money to pay for the courses. So, yeah, talk about gumming up the works. It appears that that's exactly what she's been doing. Bailey couldn't say how soon charges could be brought, but said the state will keep searching for the necessary record to establish those lines of liability. Now, Gardner, according to the report, was also heavily involved with the Vera Institute of Justice. And according to their website, the Institute is a New York City-based organization that partners with impacted communities and government leaders for change. Well, what in the hell does that mean? I love that. We partner with impacted communities and government leaders for change. See, whenever I hear that word change, I keep thinking about Obama's big campaign. Hope and change. And all the time that he was in office, I was hoping that we could change our president, get rid of him. Anyhow, Vera's stated mission is to end the over-criminalization and mass incarceration of people of color, immigrants, and people experiencing poverty. So Mr. Bailey identified that as a radical left-wing group that seeks to dismantle the criminal justice system, and that's exactly what it sounds like from what they said on their website. That's exactly what George Soros and his son Alex are devoted to doing all across this country. That's why you can go to any major city in this country and you are in danger. Bailey said that she partnered with the Vera Institute, and the Vera Institute became hopelessly intertwined in the operations of her office. He says that's the deadly social experiment that had catastrophic results. And Mr. Bailey said Vera taught her and her attorneys how to reject a case-by-case approach to prosecution in favor of a systemic approach. Bailey said that tens of millions of taxpayer dollars flow through the U.S. Department of Justice in the form of grants to the Vera Institute yearly. And he says, we're going to call on Congress to eliminate future funding to prevent empowerment of these rogue prosecutors. Now, why is this story so important? Why am I carrying on with this story? Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that Kim Gardner has been a thorn in the American side for a long time, because she was probably one of the most blatant prosecutors in this George Soros fold of DAs all across the country. And there's hardly a city, a major city in this country, that hasn't been affected by this, I'll call it what I believe it to be, corruption on the part of the Soros family. I mean, to me, it's corruption if you're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to get extreme leftists elected to key positions in major cities and counties across the country. And, just for the record, Epoch Times reached out to the Institute for comment, but didn't get a reply. But in his report, Bailey detailed how Ms. Gardner misused her office to selectively enforce laws and disastrous results for the people of St. Louis and Missouri. Now, if you go to the YouTube, you go to YouTube there on the internet, you type in St. Louis, there will be all kinds of videos that actually describe how dangerous St. Louis is. And this is one of the key reasons. You got a prosecutor or won't prosecute criminals. So Bailey says anytime you have these kind of nebulous social agendas, harm and disaster are the result. The proof is in the numbers. Between 2017 and 2023, St. Louis saw what Mr. Bailey called a record number of new offenses and a record number of homicides on a per capita basis. Follow the numbers. Bailey said Gardner left office with 4,000 pending cases. 4,000 that hadn't been charged nor reviewed. Moreover, during her tenure, the circuit attorney's office saw a 96% non-prosecution rate of new referrals that came into her office and a 39% dismissal rate of the few cases she did charge. So you have to ask, did anybody under her watch ever go to jail? Imagine this. Here again, this is Bailey speaking. He says 2,735 cases dismissed by the judges in the circuit because she wouldn't fulfill her discovery obligations or prep the cases for trial. More than 500 businesses that left downtown St. Louis because of crime. Imagine that. Did I say 5,000? It's 500 businesses. Still, that's a lot of businesses. More than 500 businesses left downtown St. Louis. And in the final 2 years of her administration, 96% of the crimes reported didn't result in a criminal charge. She also rejected charging criminals with armed criminal action for offenses involving a deadly instrument to avoid assigning mandatory minimums. Bailey says this one woman had dismantled the criminal justice system and is holding the rest of the state hostage. Additionally, Mr. Bailey and the report criticized Gardner's office leadership, saying that she didn't appropriately staff it nor provide oversight, creating a toxic work environment that caused some employees to resign in disgust. So this further prevented necessary prosecutions. Again, the reason I'm harping on this story is because this is just an example of what has been going on in so many cities across the country. San Francisco and L.A. are two. Portland, Oregon, another. Seattle, Washington, another. This scenario keeps getting repeated. And it's because nobody in our federal government has seen fit to drag the Soros family in front of a congressional committee and start asking questions. Now, in May, Missouri Governor Mike Parson, a Republican, appointed Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore to finish Gardner's term. Therefore, Mr. Gore is going to be up for re-election in 2024. And Bailey said of Gore's job performance, he says it's a new day in the city of St. Louis. The number of charges issued by the circuit attorney's office have doubled. The rule of law has been restored. And once again, he said the office is pursuing justice for victims and professions, and professionals are back in charge. And that's great. And again, my thanks to Austin Alonzo. He covers U.S. political and national news for the Epoch Times. And he's covered local, business, and agricultural news in Kansas City, Missouri since 2012. Kansas City is on the exact opposite end of the state of Missouri from St. Louis. If you're going east to west through Missouri, you enter through St. Louis, you exit through Kansas City. Now, there's also a Kansas City, Kansas across the river, but it's much smaller, hardly anything there. But Austin Alonzo, thank you so much. By the way, he's a graduate of the University of Missouri and does great work for the Epoch Times. I enjoy his articles. He's doing a great job of covering the major stories that affect the country from the Midwest. You know, here again, you can't forget that the area that we're talking about here, places like Missouri, Illinois, Arkansas, Kansas, Nebraska, that is America's heartland. And when that part of our country starts to go bad, I'm not saying going rogue, they just went bad. These people, the voters in these areas voted for these people that the Soros family was campaigning to put into office. And now you can see the damage. Thought you might be interested in knowing that an expensive fundraiser in Canada scheduled for next week featuring Dr. Anthony Fauci has quietly been canceled, with organizers remaining very hush-hush about what exactly happened. The Laborers International Union of North America, also known as LIUNA, that's L-I-U-N-A, which was set to host Fauci next Wednesday, abruptly shelved the event, citing a scheduling conflict, according to a publication known as the Bay Observer. Now, the event page has been deleted, and LIUNA has not publicly released a statement on the matter. No idea what happened here. A publication known as the Dossier obtained a since-deleted brochure for the event, which shows tickets for the event ranging from $300 to a whopping $50,000. Photos with Fauci started at $10,000. God, there are people gullible enough to buy this kind of stuff. Hey, it's their money. Anyhow, after LIUNA's event was canceled, Canadian Freedom Convoy members made plans to protest the Fauci dinner, according to a Rebel News report. Now, anything that comes out of Rebel News, out of Canada, Read it. Rebel News. Very, very good news organization. Anyhow, be that as it may, it shouldn't come as much of a surprise that Fauci has aligned himself with a left-wing labor union, having been on the warpath against right-of-center Americans since retiring from his government health job. By the way, yes, he is retired from his NIH job, but he is still getting paid. He's on the government payroll. Now, in recent weeks, Fauci blamed the extreme radical right for the prolonging of the pandemic. You know, and remember all the times that he got up to the podium and claimed that he was non-political, non-partisan, bull corn. I knew it from day one. That little sawed-off bastard. Despite retiring at the end of last year, Fauci continues to get millions of dollars worth of taxpayer-funded benefits. Like 24/7 chauffeur. Yes, 24/7 chauffeur. And a fully staffed U.S. Marshals security detail. Now, this labor union, LIUNA, which is widely considered one of the most influential labor unions in North America, donates almost exclusively to Democrats. Not hard to believe. They've spent millions of dollars in the most recent cycle to elect progressives to office. You know, liberals are one thing, but progressives, boy, they're the worst. And Fauci has had perhaps the longest 15 minutes of fame of all time. So now we're wondering, has his 15 minutes of fame finally come to an end? I would love to find out why this labor union, which is obviously a leftist labor union, canceled the fundraiser with him. I thought this was interesting. Dwayne The Rock Johnson backtracked in a recent podcast conversation with Joe Rogan when asked if any of his friends actually support Joe Biden. Now, during a conversation about America's hyper-politicized and tribalistic culture, which is one of the things that Rogan does best. I mean, he's just, you know, he's not a political science graduate. I don't think he holds any degrees to that nature, but he's just got some amazing instincts, and he does a terrific job of identifying with people like you and me, and then converses with prominent members of our current Western culture about these topics. And he's got a gift for this. So anyhow, Rogan explained how modern American political discourse is different today compared to several decades ago.
When I was a kid, you could have a Republican friend. Like, it was no big deal.
Yes, yes.
It's no big deal. Like, oh, Bobby likes George Bush.
Of course.
Who cares? Who gives a f***? You know, you were a supporter of Bill Clinton. He liked George Bush. Nobody cared. Nobody like you. You know, it wasn't like you're a Nazi. Like, I'm a Nazi. I just want lower taxes.
That's what the f*** are you talking about?
How did I become a Nazi?
Dude, it's the craziest thing. I have friends who support Trump. I have friends who support Biden. I have friends.
Do you really have friends who support Biden?
I do.
Come
well,
on.
Well, no. Here's what I do. I have friends. Thank you. That's a good check because that's important. This is important context.
They support the Democratic Party.
I have friends who are loyal to the party.
Yes.
Now, I want to point out here that Johnson endorsed Biden in 2020, and his comments represent more anecdotal evidence that Biden didn't necessarily win the election because voters were enthusiastic about his presidential prospects, as much as voters showed up in record numbers to vote against Donald Trump. And also during that episode, Johnson revealed that a political party approached him recently about running for president, showing him evidence that he would be competitive in the race, but Johnson didn't reveal which party approached him. I find it interesting that he seems to be a little squeamish about divulging that. Meanwhile, Johnson visited Washington this week where he was peppered with questions about running for president. That'll be interesting. I mean, what kind of a president would this guy make? I don't know. I'm not real impressed with Dwayne. I mean, he's cool in the movies. That's a good place for him. I think he did some wrestling. That's fine. But what kind of a president would he make? I mean, is he smart enough, for instance, to out-strategize somebody like Xi Jinping? Is he sharp enough? Does he have the proper card-playing skills to go up against somebody like Kim Jong-un? I mean, the trick with Kim Jong-un isn't about understanding things like the economy or Kim Jong-un's political system. It's in understanding what a whack job Kim Jong-un is and how to do business with this guy, how to keep him from going off on the rest of the world by launching a bunch of nuclear missiles. You know, and this is something that Donald Trump has a knack for. He shakes hands with somebody, he's got that person figured out already. And I just don't think that Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson is that kind of a person. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. And too often, a lot of these celebrities, just because a lot of people know them and a lot of people greet them and a lot of people ask them for their autographs or can I have a selfie with you, they let that crap go to their heads and they assume that, oh boy, I'm going to run for president. I am going to fix the world's problems. No, I don't think you are. To the Comedy Corner to open the weekend with Stephen Rogers.
Yeah, my name is Stephen Rogers. I have the same name as the superhero Captain America. Yes, it's as big a deal as you all made it just now. It really sucks having the same name as a superhero, especially when you look like he did before he was super. Nobody gets it. Nobody relates. Like, recently I met a guy named Peter Parker, and we just hugged for a little bit. We ended up saving each other. It was adorable. I don't like it. Everybody has to bring it up when I meet him every single time. I'm worried if I ever have to call 911 for myself, I'm not going to make it. You know, I'll be like, hello, I've just been shot. Yeah, Stephen Rogers. Yeah, just like that guy. Listen, I'm on the corner of, oh, you're right, I should have used my shield. That's a good one. You're so funny. You got a Captain America shirt on. All right, came to the right show. You're like, yeah, I was hoping to see the other one. Got the wrong Stephen Rogers. Oh, man, good to be here. I'll tell you a little bit about me. I'm a very nervous person. I have pretty bad anxiety. I have diagnosed anxiety. Nobody understands anxiety. That's one thing I noticed. I told my one friend I had it. He was like, ah, don't worry about it, man. It could always be worse. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's anxiety. That's like if I told you how to stutter and you're like, well, he could say that again. Yeah, I probably will. It's horrible. Nobody takes anxiety seriously. I think it's because we use the word so much. I think we need a new name for it. I was thinking pre-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah. Because that's really what it is. Every day I'm walking around like, oh no, and people go, what happened? And I'm like, nothing yet. Should be here any minute now. It's horrible. My doctor prescribed me pills for my anxiety, and then he warned me that they're extremely addictive. So now I'm too anxious to take my anxiety medication. I'm afraid to take them out of the bottle. So I just shake the pills whenever I'm nervous. It's like I got prescribed a rain stick. Yeah, it's bad. I don't know, I get panic attacks. Those are pretty awful. They're like a dress rehearsal for death. Because it's your brain telling you that you're dying, and then you don't. One of these days I will be dying and think I need to calm down. I'll be like, and this too shall, and then I'll pass away. It's gonna be rough. I found out a lot about panic attacks by having them. Like women, way better to be around during a panic attack than men. Like my girlfriend, she'll walk me through it, calm me down. No problem. My guy friends, they're the worst. Like, I'm gasping for air and they're trying to throw grapes into my mouth. I'm like, this is counterproductive. Yeah, I get, I don't know, I'm anxious all the time. One thing that scares me is home invasions, because that combines two of my biggest fears, which is danger and meeting new people.
Make it a terrific weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?